Welcome to War in Binny. This is a game which is designed to be played by large numbers of people, and those of you that may have come across the format before, this particular game is a political military game. There is an operational element and a very large political element. So say a few words about gameplay, and then I'll tell you a little bit about Binny. There are lots of people with a whole range of roles. The key thing, if you're in doubt about what to do, is to go and talk to somebody. There is always some benefit to be gained by finding someone to talk to. And generally speaking, this is about deals or about accommodations, negotiations, duplicity, dishonesty, and downright sneakiness as well. However, everybody or every team has a set of objectives. And so the other thing about this sort of game is there, as in the real world, there are no winners. You'll be able to judge by the end of the game, or quite quickly into the game, how many of your objectives you can realistically achieve. And the more of those you can achieve, the better you can feel about yourselves and how well you've done. But we won't at the end be saying, and you are the winner, and you are the loser. We won't be doing that. You can decide for yourselves. As in real life, history will determine the victors, and especially if you write it. So a little bit about Binny, the fictional country of Binny. It's had a terrible history. It's been racked by all sorts of crises, wars, and disorders, and has been used repeatedly for mega game backgrounds. This time, it's on the brink of civil war. It has a coastline, and it's surrounded by three other powers with whom it has varying relationships. It has the People's Republic of Muela, it has the Republic of Agadez, and the Kingdom of Gao, a constitutional monarchy, a republic, and a communist state. Relationships between those have some history, and the regional actors in the game will have something in their team briefing about what those relationships are. When you go next door, you'll have it on your table for your team. You'll have a pack with some team briefings and other game components, and we'll have time at the start for you to get into that. But over the years, Binny and its neighbours have had various relationships. However, within Binny, tensions are reaching crisis point, and there are a number of factions that are in play. For good reasons, the Binnian government has seen fit to postpone elections and has felt that those who hold diametrically opposed views of the government are effectively subversive and therefore banned. Opposition parties have therefore, after much, to their eyes, provocation, have taken to arming themselves in their own self-defence. So the opposition parties are outlawed. The leader of one of the key opposition parties is still held in prison by the regime, and activists are out in the countryside attempting to assert their independence from the regime and agitate against its collapse. So that's one faction. Additionally, this is a time of religious fracture, and there are three large and one small fractures. One is there is a large Christian, traditionalist Christian body, which is increasingly arming itself. There is a Muslim body, which is increasingly arming itself. And there is a traditional Kluge-ist tribal religion, which is very powerful in this area, which similarly is arming itself, each attempting to achieve some degree of self-determination or control. In amongst all of that is the slightly wacky Hand of God movement, who are extreme Christian fundamentalists, and they are determined to create the kingdom of God on earth, and Binny seems a good place for it. So this is everything in the kitchen sink is all in play here. The reason for all of this is to try to construct a very, very simplistic and loose model about how those competing tensions play in a disintegrating state. There is no direct solution to this. There is no projected path. What emerges today is a story that you will create between you. It's open-ended. It might be that the Binion state reasserts itself and utterly crushes the rebels and the opposition parties, and all is good for them. Or it could go the other way. It could be so chaotic nobody's in control of anything. Or it could be any one of the rebel groups or pressure groups comes from the top. We do not know, and the only way we will know is by playing the game through and seeing how you interact with each other. So it's quite important to understand this is open-ended. The other thing about mega games and this particular scenario as well is that the game is moderated by a control team. Those who are on the control team, could you just stick your hands up? Okay, you'll get to know them. The control team are there to help run the game. They're not there necessarily to make the game more difficult. We generally believe that you're capable of making it quite difficult on your own without assistance from control. But they're there to manage, to help you manage the very simple game mechanisms, and also to cover off things that you come up with that aren't in the rules, i.e. pretty much everything. So if you have a cunning plan, a wizard wheeze, and you think this is something that you could realistically do in this context, then control will tell you how that fits into the game. They may tell you you need to collect certain resources in order to do it, usually cash. They may say you need to commit something. You may need to talk to somebody and get some agreement. Whatever it is, control is there to help facilitate the story and allow you to do the things you need to do. So that's part of the game, but that's not all of it. Like, just look at the game structure. We've got, and this is in your game rules, which hopefully you've got a copy of, the other very, very important part of the game is the United Nations. This crisis in this war, potential war in Binny, does not happen in isolation. It's happening in the full glare of the global media, and more on those in a moment. And also, there's a clamour that something must be done. We can't simply, the civilised world cannot sit by and allow uncontrolled bloodletting in a state. That's unconscionable. I mean, it wouldn't happen in real life, would it? So you have the opportunity, a large number of you have the opportunity as representatives in the Security Council in the United Nations to do something about it. And so we have another element of the game, which is the UN Security Council is being played by the nations represented are the current UN Security Council. They are operating within the rules and procedures of the UN, but they have, many of them have gigantic resources. Certainly America, China, well, the veto countries, Britain, France, and so on, they've got enormous military and financial resources which they could choose to deploy or not. How they're deployed, where they're deployed, who they support, who they don't support, what preconditions are in place, that is the key part, key question for the UN Security Council. Now, it may be those of you that are down in the forests and hills and valleys of Binny, this all may seem very esoteric and distant, and indeed that's what it is, until they turn up. If they turn up, hopefully it will be for you, to your benefit or to alleviate the situation. We don't know. We've just given you the resources to do something or not. The UN Security Council, so you most people have seen the main hall, that represents Binny and its environs. The United Nations game goes on along the corridor, and there are three rooms at the end there which represent New York. Movement between New York and Binny takes time and effort. It's quite a long walk. And so there will be limits on intercommunication for the delegates in the UN. Not to suggest that the UN exists in a diplomatic bubble separate from the real world. I wouldn't dream of suggesting such a thing. However, there will be some separate physical separation. And the two key things here, one is that there will be a group of UN military advisors and agency staff and players playing that who will be the conduit. They will be the ones that turn up in Binny, look at what's happening on the ground, come back to the Security Council and say, you won't believe what's going on. So it's terrible. Do something. Well, okay, new agenda item. We'll do something in a minute. So there's that flow. If the UN commit under a UN mandate something that goes into that room, then the UN staff players will take those units and the mandate and take them into the room and use them in accordance with that mandate. So getting the wording of a mandate is actually quite important. Or they might not do anything. UN might just spend all day getting the wording of the mandate right. That's okay. That's also an outcome. As long as you get the wording right, you win. In Bini, the key communication team of the world media. This is in the glare of the world media. Whatever the government of Bini might do in order to put a correct interpretation on the news, it's very hard to limit news. They will be circulating amongst all the teams. You can't, before anybody asks, I've had this asked before, you cannot assassinate reporters. I knew that would be disappointing. You cut off one head, two more take their place. They're impossible to kill. The world media are around asking questions. You don't, as a player team, you don't necessarily have to answer the question, but in my experience, if you don't answer the question, the media may very well make up your answer for you. So it's a good idea to talk to the world media. It's a good idea to get your news in first. And also, the media will be another way in which they feed information. So they'll be coming and delivering news, giving headlines to the UN. We'll talk a little bit about how they do that. In the room, there are some boards up, and we're not expecting the press to write informed op-ed pieces of great length and complexity. We're really looking at headlines and maybe strap lines of the key things that are going on. And this plays into the game, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So I've talked about the different teams. We have the political relationships between the Binian government and the three neighbouring governments, and how they may relate to the various warring factions within Bini. We have the United Nations sitting in its ivory tower in New York with potentially great power, but also great responsibility. International news media, and then the four groups of crazies. Of legitimate rebel forces. I put the opposition alliance at the top because currently the opposition alliance would be, generally speaking, the one that's internationally recognised as a potential future government of Bini. That's not to say that may not change. Political recognition will be down to how the UN view it, how individual members of the UN view it, and how the neighbours view it. So that's a very quick overview of Bini. Game structure. Generally speaking, we've got key roles within each team. The Binian team has a particularly large group team because they've got actually quite a lot of regional resources. They are still the government. They still have tanks, guns, soldiers, aircraft, bombs, all sorts of things. And also, the Binian team will have a lot of, well, at least ways we think, they'll have a lot of talking to do to their neighbours and to various other factions. You're not restricted on who you talk to. But obviously, any conversation has its political ramifications. If, let us say, for example, a senior diplomat from Bini is seen doing a deal with a particularly blood-soaked faction leader in a dark corner of the room, that might have political implications, especially if the press see it. So you can talk to anybody. The team negotiator is a diplomat-type person, and in fact, the team leaders and second-in-commands are... Your main activity will probably be moving around the room doing deals. We have one game constraint about the map. The master map's in the middle of the hall. You can look at it, that's fine. When we come to action, and we'll do that only for a short period of time each game turn, and I'll come on to that in a moment, only the military commander can go to the map. This is purely pretty largely for game management purposes. We really don't want 80 people standing around the map. It's not going to work. So make sure in your team, your military commander knows what it is you want them to do. And so when we say military commanders to the map, we'll make an announcement. Only that person comes to the map. and come to the map ready to make a decision and take an action. So what the map control will frown upon will be somebody coming up to the map, and map control will say, where are you moving your armoured division? And the player going, oh, right, I'll just go and ask my team. That's not popular. And generally speaking, that will result in them not doing anything, because the game will move on, time moves on. You don't have time to, we won't allow you time to spend ages discussing each move. You have time before you go to the table. That might mean that your military commander does what you didn't want them to do, or reinterprets it when they get to the table, but that's just the fog of war. As I said, the UN part of the game, things are different. The UN teams are teams of two, and that will consist of one person who sits at the table, and you'll see the layout of the Security Council, and one person to assist. You can rotate those two, you have equal standing, and also there's someone, you've always got someone in reserve who can go and do dealing and talking. The UN Security Council will not be sitting full time. It will be broken up into breakout time, where you can do your deals in smoke-filled rooms, or perhaps not so smoke-filled rooms these days, before then coming to the formal meeting and conducting a formal Security Council meeting and agreeing a resolution. So those two. Also, one can use the second player can always be could even be sent off to Binny on a fact-finding mission, which is always entertaining. In the UN space at the end, there are three rooms. One is the Security Council chamber. The other two are breakout spaces. Each team has a table. When you go in there, you will see on your table a little envelope, brown envelope, not containing the bribe, but containing the components you will need for the game. And you will have some game counters. If you have military forces that you could potentially use, you'll have counters to represent those. And also a copy of your briefing with your objectives in it, your national objectives. So hopefully the key components will all be there. And the UN control, which is Rex and Stephen, will manage your time and advise you and assist you in every way possible related to the game. The same thing applies in the main hall. There's a table for each team. Some of you already found them. There's an envelope with your game components in it, your warlike stores, your money. The other thing which is quite important is there are some sticky labels with your role, your game role, for each team. If you haven't got them, ask control, but they wear those because it's quite important for other players to know who they're talking to when you come up and talk to them. So please wear your role badge at all times. Okay, the PR track. There's also a set of these tracks which will be on the centre of in the main room. And these determine how much influence you have. So in the game, we have things called influence cards. And these are a game currency. There is also a game currency, which is currency, megabucks. But the PR track determines how many influence cards you're allowed to have in your hand each turn. And what this represents is just how much your influence declines as as support for your position declines. So if the Binnian government, for example, starts to lose control of its key infrastructure, its power plants, its dam, its major cities, its PR track will drop and its influence will drop. Its ability to do things will decline. So it's not good. If it gets, and this is where the world press comes in, however, if it's getting really, really positive and enthusiastic headlines and news reports in the press, Binnian government doing really well, Binnian government clamps down on terrorism, whatever, then that's likely to go up. And that applies to everybody. So every team has their own PR track. And so you can increase the amount of game currency you have, your influence cards, by trying to find ways of bumping up your PR level. It's not vital, but it can be really helpful. The influence cards are a currency which you can use either, you'll see from the game rules, either you can use those to take control, to try and you just use raw threats, intimidation, and general influence to take over somewhere. But you can also use them as part of some scheme. If you want to convince someone to do, some non-played entity to do something, expend influence cards to do it. Each influence card has a number on it, which is its notional value. Higher value ones do more than low value ones. And you can exchange influence. So you could say to somebody, well, I'm going to back you in your move to do this, do whatever, to introduce a new law, for example. And so therefore, someone else can contribute. So it might be that, say, one of the faction, Christian faction, might say, well, we'll back the government on this and we'll use their influence because they're bringing in a new law which says women are not allowed to go to university or something. So that's how those work. It's also part of the open-ended element of the game. So generally speaking, if you want to do something that's not in the rules, you'll either be using game money or game influence. Game money, the amount of money you have in your pack is the budget for the entire game. There isn't an income part to this, because the game actually only represents a couple of months of operations and activity. You should have enough, or at least you won't have enough, but what you have is what you've got. Some teams, some groups are wealthier than others. Again, if you can find ways of generating more wealth or more money, or you've got some scheme, run it past control, you might be able to create some more money for yourself. So that's a canter through War in Binny and how it will work. Much of it, you will see, is a repeat of what's in the rules. We have some time for you to read into your materials and familiarise yourself. Tom, you got the...
Yep.
Yeah, so...
But hang on.
Yeah.
So what we want you to do is you should have your roles already. If you're in Binny, there are tables for each of the organisations, the factions and everything else. If you're part of the UN, for example, Venezuela, then you need to be in room 20. So there is the UN room for the Security Council, which has a round table. And then there's the two breakout rooms. What we absolutely need you to do for the next 15, 20 minutes is go to the location of your role and sit down there so that we can check if there's any vital role that isn't filled. So don't go into the UN Security Council room. Go to the two breakout rooms, familiarise yourselves with the rules and all of your resources, and stay there for the next 15 or 20 minutes. We will come around, and if there's a disastrous hole because a couple of people have failed to make it due to the strike, we may have to reassign some small country and who knows, greatness may be thrust upon you or perhaps the other way around. And we have a couple of people who very kindly have volunteered to be thrown into any missing places. So, are there any questions at this stage? I hope there aren't. Okay, so if you go to your roles, that will be fantastic.
Got it.